Amen, amen. Take your Bibles and look at Isaiah 45 and verse number 22. We're just reading one verse this morning and then jumping right into the message. Isaiah 45 and verse 22, where the Lord says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now, and I pray, Lord, that those who might be lost in our congregation today would be inspired to look unto you, and may this be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. D.L. Moody, the great gospel evangelist, used to say, "If I can get a man to think for 5 minutes about his soul, he is almost certain to be converted." That's a wonderful thought. I want you to think about your souls this morning. Those of you who are saved, can you remember the specific events leading up to your salvation experience? Whatever your circumstances, there was certainly a defining moment when you knew beyond a doubt that Jesus was and is your only hope. God calls us all in various and sometimes mysterious ways, but every believer's story is one of life-changing power of the gospel. There's a true story about an incident that occurred in the cold waters around the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. One passenger by the name of John Harper was on his way to preach at the Moody Church in Chicago. Trying to stay afloat in the ocean, he drifted toward a young man holding onto a plank. Harper asked him the question, "Young man, are you saved?" The man answered, "No." And then a wave separated them. And after a few minutes, they drifted within speaking distance of each other. And again, Harper called to this young man and asked, "Have you made your peace with God?" The young man said, "Not yet." There was a wave that overwhelmed John Harper, and he was then seen no more. But the words, "Are you saved?" kept ringing in his ears. 2 weeks later, a youth stood in a Christian Endeavor meeting in New York and told his story and said, "I am John Harper's last convert." He told that story. I said that to say this: you never know when just a few well-timed words can make the difference for someone's eternal destiny. This could be a life-changing service for some of you this morning. I've spoken many times about this verse. I hope to do so, if my life is spared, many more times. It was some 61 years ago that I looked unto the Lord and found a salvation in Jesus Christ. You have often heard me tell the story how that I'd been wandering about under conviction for some time, seeking peace with God and finding none. Until a preacher on revival night stood up in the pulpit and preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ and asked me to consider looking unto Him for my salvation. Look unto Christ and be saved. Christ calls upon each of us to look upon Him and be saved. And you'll notice it is Christ that speaks in our text. He's saying, "Look unto me, look unto me." And that is what exactly we have to do. We have to look to Him. And the beautiful truth is that everyone can look. You can look, I can look. A child can look. If you're educated this morning, you can look. If you're uneducated, you can look. If you're rich this morning, you can look unto Him. If you're poor, even the poor may look unto him and be saved. Anyone who looks, the promise is that he shall live, he shall be saved. Now, if you're lost this morning, there is no hope for you or any chance of getting rid of your sin but by looking unto Jesus. He is the only one who can forgive, who can pardon, who can atone for your sin. And so I call upon you this morning. Look, young people, look unto Jesus. Men, look unto Jesus. Women, look unto Jesus. For everyone who looks in faith to him can be saved this morning. Isaiah 1:18, God said, "Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Scripture teaches us that you can have a blessed deliverance from sin in a single moment by looking unto Jesus. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." This message is addressed not just to the Israelites, you will notice, but also to the Gentiles, to the nations at the very ends of the earth, to the pagans who've been looking to their idols and receiving nothing but disappointment for their effort, to the heathen looking to their false gods for what they need. They spend vast sums of money. They make enormous sacrifices and devotion to their idols and to their temples. But salvation does not come and cannot come through false gods. Jehovah God bids them look to him that they may be saved. The philosophy today is, you know, you don't have to look to God. Schools of higher learning are turning away from the Lord. They don't want to even think about God. And earth is becoming a very dangerous place in which to live as people turn away from God and turn toward paganism and heathenism. The Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. Romans 1:22 declares, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And how true that is. And that is where man with his great thought and his great wisdom always drifts to some absurdity or another. Only Jesus can save your soul. Amen. Only Jesus can redeem mankind. Philosophy is powerless in this matter. The nations have been looking long, first to this thing and then to that thing to save them. Sometimes they have looked for some great conqueror who would break the yoke of oppression and set the people free. But how often have they been deceived, and those they thought were going to deliver them turned out to be the grossest kind of tyrant that ever lived. Men are looking everywhere in vain. They're looking in politics. They're looking to a democratic form of government. But no one has the power to our personal and national ills to cure them except for Jesus. Listen. If they looked to God, there would be accomplished what all mankind would not be able to perform. One man advises this policy. Another pleads for that form of government. Someone has this idea. Someone has another. But the Lord of hosts has willed that nothing shall save a nation but he himself. It's God that we need. And this poor bleeding earth needs to be told again and again that for her wounds, and she has many of them, there is no healing but that which flows from the head and the hands and the feet and the side of our blessed Lord. There is no cure but Jesus. Look around at this sin-cursed world. From the crown of her head to the sole of her foot, she's full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And for all of these, there is no cure but the blessed balm that flowed from Jesus' heart on Calvary. There is no remedy but the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And as it is with the nations at the ends of the earth, so it must be with me. So it must be, dear friends, with you. There is no salvation but by looking unto God in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask a question. What does this word look really mean? It means a great deal more than I can tell you. Among other things, I think it means this. Number one, consider that there is a God and enthrone him in your mind as a real person, the one living and true God. Don't put a question mark there, but consider him to be real. Consider him. We spoke about praying for Brother Mike Peterson a few moments ago. I remember being in his home a few weeks ago, and he told me his story, how that he had grown up in a Roman Catholic home. And he was a Roman Catholic till he was a man of about 17 years old. And he said any dealings with God until that time had to be done through a priest or through a nun. His wife, his granddaughter, is here this morning hearing me say all this, so I've got to get it right. He said that when he realized that he could talk directly with God without having to go through another human being, he said it was almost more than I could comprehend. I say to you this morning, let your mind turn towards God. Think about him. You may be like that young man who left his father's house. His circumstances became so bad that he was obliged to take a very low and demeaning job, and yet with all he could do, he did not earn enough to take care of himself. The best thing he could do was remember that he had a father, and the happiest day for him was when he came back to his father and received a loving welcome from him. Today you say you're not happy. You're not at rest. Your conscience is disturbed. You've tried so many things to get peace in your life. How much longer do you want to live this way? Now think about God. Think about the loving Father who receives his wandering prodigal children. And as you think about him, you will have begun to look to him. While you are thinking about him, I wish you would remember this about him, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Think about that wonderful truth that God came here in human flesh and blood and for us, for our salvation, died a cruel death on the tree. Turn that over and over again in your mind, for it is there that your only hope of salvation lies. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Think over all the details of that story this morning. Look toward God in Christ in your thoughts and in your meditation. By the blessing, the power of the Holy Spirit, this will give birth to faith in you. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Set your face that way. Look at God as he revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and I promise you that faith will be born in you. And looking to God means that as you think about him, that you're going to address yourself to him, not just think about him, but actually talk to him, as Brother Mike Peterson mentioned earlier. Speak to him. Tell him where you are. Tell him what you are. Tell God what you feel, what you don't feel. Tell him what you ought to feel and what you wish you felt. Tell him what you desire and what you have not yet received. If you cannot pray, tell him so. But speak to him. And that speaking will be a turning to look. If I am walking down this aisle toward the pulpit this morning, in order to see the clock in the back of the room, I have to turn around and look. I have to set my attention on that clock in order to see it. In that same fashion, I want you this morning, every one of you, to turn towards God, to look to Calvary, to look to the Lord. I want you to consider Him. I want you to think upon Him. I want you to focus upon Him. I want you to then speak to Him. What do I say, preacher? Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him that you're undone. Tell Him that you need His mercy, for without His mercy, you will be lost forever. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and He's the only way to God. Nobody comes to the Father but by Him. Amen. I say to you, look to Him. Address Him. Tell Him whatever you know to be the truth about yourself. Do not mock Him with mere words that do not come from your heart, but let your heart speak to God. Address Him, for that is looking to Him, directing your attention to Him. And then thirdly, you must get through to God. So many stop somewhere short of God when they are seeking salvation. So many stop at the Virgin Mary, and they only pray to her. So many stop at confessing to an earthly priest, and they say something like this to an earthly priest, another human being, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." That man has no power to forgive your sins. He's out of place where he is. He's taken a position between you and Christ, which he should not be taking. You have got to get to God. Unless you get to God, you're lost. You've got to get to God in Christ Jesus. Do not stop until you feel in your heart, in your soul, "I have spoken to God. I've confessed my sins. I have sought His forgiveness. I have asked Him for mercy." You're sure to get it if you've gone directly to Him. You're sure to get it. But if you stop without looking to Jesus Himself, you're yet undone. Looking to God means that you are considered to consider Him and then address yourself to Him. And then to look to Him means that you must realize that salvation must come from God alone. We must know this, that apart from God, we are helpless and hopeless. We are bound by the iron fetters of our sins. We are laid like the dead in the graves. We are numbered among the slain like those that go down to the pit. No arm can help us but the arm of omnipotence. Nothing can save us but the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Sing it with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, my friend, is the power of God to forgive sins. Oh, listen. Next, to come to Him, to look to Him, means to expect that He will save you. As a 9-year-old boy, when I stepped out of the back seat that night to come forward in that revival meeting, the moment I took that first step of faith is when God saved me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, expect that He will save you. If you don't expect Him to save you, you're not going to take that step to come to Him and to look to Him. Amen. but expect it. Oh, what a step that is for someone to take. By God's grace, I pray that you will take it, saying, nobody but God can save me. Salvation comes only from Him. He is gracious. He has given His dear Son to die for sinners. I'm a sinner, the most unworthy, perhaps, who ever lived. I will nevertheless dare to hope, dare to trust that I shall be saved. He has promised to receive all who on His Son believe. So I will now trust His Son, and I will look to Him to give me full and free salvation because I trust in Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Take that step of faith. Expect to receive salvation, and you shall have it. Can it be true? Is this all I have to do? Do I only have to believe in God's grace in Christ and trust myself to Him and just follow Him? The preacher had said, go home and take a whip and flog yourself 40 times. You'd have done that for salvation, wouldn't you? I would have. I'd have beat myself practically to death if that's what it took to get saved. But God didn't say that. God didn't say whip yourself, beat yourself up. There's nothing in the gospel about lashing yourself, mutilating yourself. As a 9-year-old boy, freckled face, poor, backward, introverted, I was just told to simply look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Him. I did, and God saved me that night. Suppose someone would say, well, does that faith make any difference to a man? I want to tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. Suppose you've hired a man to work for you and he's always doing inferior work and he doesn't come to work on time and he's always doing something bad on the job and disappointing you and upsetting you, and you find out the reason he gives for so provoking you is that he doesn't believe in you. He doesn't respect you. But one day you convince him that you truly care about him. And you prove to him that all you wish for him is his good, that you've been seeking to do him good all the while that he's been with you. And finally, your kindness and your mercy and your love prevails, and he changes his mind towards you and believes you to be a good and kind and thoughtful person. And from the moment this change takes place, there is nothing too much or nothing too hard for him to do for you. That is just the effect that genuine faith in God has upon a sinner's moral character. Before you believed in God, you did not care much about Him. You might have done a few good things, just as a bad employee does as much or as little as he dares to do for the sake of his wages. But, oh, when you once believe in God and you serve Him out of love, everything changes. What a grand thing it is to have faith in the heart. It will save a man entirely from his old ways, his old lusts, his old sins. A man or a woman who truly loves God will serve God out of that love. That is the mightiest transforming power that has ever been implanted in the bosom of a lost soul. This is how God saves men and women. By leading them to trust in Him, in Jesus Christ. By leading them to love Him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And then secondly, for what part of salvation are we to look to God? Every part, from beginning to end. For the pardon of sin. Who can pardon sin but the person who was offended? I cannot forgive a wrong that was not done to me. You cannot forgive a wrong that was not done to you. Only the person who has been offended can forgive the offense. So, if you want the pardon of your sin, it is evident that it can only come from God, the one against whom you have offended. Your pardon cannot come from the preacher. Your pardon cannot come from the Pope. Your pardon cannot come from the priest or from the bishop or from the cardinal. Your pardoner can come only from the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Look to Him. He's the only one who can forgive you. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who can seal your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Gaze upon Him. Focus upon Him. You say to me, it's not merely that I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to become a new man. Well, God will help you do that too. Amen. I think the best person to fix and clean a broken watch is a watchmaker, don't you? I tried to fix one time and it never worked again. I was the wrong person to work on it. The best person to renew and to cleanse the heart is the person who made the heart. He who made you is the only one who can remake you. There's no power under heaven except the power that created you, which can create you anew in Christ Jesus. And so you must look to God for that new birth. You must know also that you must be holy or you can never enter heaven. Now, how are you to be holy? We must look to God for that too. Only the perfectly holy one can sanctify you, holy spirit, soul, and body. Colossians 2:10, a very short verse, but I love it. Ye are complete in Him. Amen? Amen. I said in Him. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4, and hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I say to you, if you will follow Christ, if you will listen to Him and follow Him as sheep, follow the shepherd, your salvation is secure. We look to Him for our total and complete salvation. May your faith embrace the whole of salvation and see it to be all in God and in Christ, and look to God in Christ for everything you need. Why should we look to God? I've tried to show you what it is to look, to consider, to speak to Him, to trust Him, and then to rest wholly in Him. You may say, what is my encouragement to do that? To expect that by doing that I shall be saved, that my life will be changed. I know that trusting in Christ saves people. I've seen the miraculous transformation and the change He's made in other lives. How can I be sure this invitation is for me? First of all, it's God's command to you. What do you mean, preacher? It's God's command. God said, look. If God says for me to look, I dare not look. If God says for me to look, I need to look. Amen? God's command is, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There was a time when the unknown continent of America might have been considered the ends of the earth. When the prophet spoke these immortal words by the inspiration of God, there was a great deal of this earth still undiscovered. But even so, though man did not know of other continents and other lands and other people, God knew. And God commanded that everyone to the ends of the earth look unto Him. Amen? Now, if you tell me that you're from Australia, well, you may be from the ends of the earth down there. I had a preacher friend, Brother Tommy Balcom, went to New Guinea down there and ministered to those people. And talk about the ends of the earth. I mean, they're just one generation away from cannibalism. My son Gary, here today, served in the Navy, stationed at Diego Garcia. I didn't even know that island existed until he got stationed there, and then it became very important to me for some reason. Off the coast of Africa. How long were you there, son? 3 years? 2 years. Seemed like three. But if you're from Diego Garcia, you're commanded to look because you are within the scope of the ends of the earth. Brother Dalton Heath has been to the Marshall Islands, been to Guam. Ends of the earth included. Everyone is included. No one excluded. Listen, if you're on planet earth, you are included in this command, in this invitation. Those who are far off are commanded to look. Those who are close are commanded to look. Those who are halfway around the world are commanded to look. The gospel command is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No one is excluded. You ought never to say, I don't know if he meant me. God's command is for you, every one of you, to look to him. Look to him. And then he says in the New Testament something about being responsible to look. For he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's strong language. Mark 16:16. Look it up in your Bible. He that believeth not shall be damned. God commands us to lift up our voices and shout it to the ends of the earth. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Look unto me and be ye saved, saith the Lord. And as surely as you believe enough to look, you shall be saved at once. Look who gives a command. For I am God, and there is none else. You need a God to save you this morning, young man. Young lady, you need a God to save you. You've got a great load of sin resting upon you. And only the Almighty can lift it off your shoulders. Then there are the bonds of iniquity, the old habits of living in sin for years and years. But Christ can tear away the iron net and break the chains and set the captive free in a moment of time. How can he do that? He can do that because he's God. If you will come unto him, if you will inquire of him, if you will look to him, if you will direct your attention to him, if you will speak to him right now, he can and he will save you. He's promised to give you a new heart and a new spirit, but only if you ask him. Only if you look to him and direct your attention to him and begin to follow him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look today. This may be the only time you have. Paul spoke to Felix, and Felix said, Paul, go thy way for this time. When we have a more convenient season, we'll send for you. There's no record that Felix was ever saved. You may be thinking right now about what you're going to do when you get home. I remember Billy and Chris Turnage are here today. I remember when their sister April left a Wednesday night church service over in Prosper Baptist Church. She thought she was going home. But she had a car wreck and died. She never made it home. Randy Flack, his dad told me, he went to sleep on a Friday night. His hands folded on his chest. He is supposed to bring a Hardy's biscuit to his mother the next morning, Saturday morning. When he didn't show up, they began to inquire and call, and no answer. And they finally went to his mobile home to check on him. And they found him in his own bed with his hands still folded on his chest, cold in death. You don't know that you have tomorrow. Corey Bullard, many of you know him, he's a member here. I missed him one Sunday, called him on Monday, didn't get an answer. At about nightfall, I called him again, still didn't get an answer. Never had before had been unable to get him, and so I went to the place where he lived, and I asked the superintendent of that building, I said, can I get into Corley's room? You can go in with me. I need to check on Corley. Can't get up with him. He won't answer his phone. His children don't know where he is. The superintendent let me into Corley's room that night. When I walked into the bathroom, there I found him, laying on the floor, cold in death. I say, look unto, Jesus says, look unto me. When should we look? Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Why? Because you don't know if you have tomorrow. I can't guarantee you have another. You'll have another day. I cannot guarantee you you'll have another opportunity. All I know is that you have an opportunity right now to look unto God. Look unto me, he says, and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Will you look today? Will you come today? Will you come now? Jesus said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I'm just a messenger this morning. I've delivered the message. But do you know something? That it is not half so much my business that you should be saved as it is yours. Do you understand what I've said? Look to Jesus. Give yourself to him. Believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can take away your sin. Accept him. Receive him this morning. And those who look, those who believe, those who call upon his name, those who ask for mercy, shall be born again of his Spirit and shall bring forth fruit unto God, and the end shall be everlasting life. Everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, help it to be so that every one of you who are lost this morning will look to Jesus right now, that you will ask him to save you, that you will take that step of faith and believe that if you will confess him before men, he'll confess you before his Father in heaven. I'm going to ask you to take that step of faith this morning and be saved. Will you do